Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Real Life with Rich in Christ. This show is like no other that you're going to hear in Christian media, because as I was just putting my dogs out for the day, I realized that this is not only about the real life of the believers that I'm sharing these wonderful truths that God is revealing to me, but it's also about the real life of God that maybe people are going to hear for the first time. And the fact that the real life of God is that God is not the punishing and distant, impersonal taskmaster that, so many believe that he is today, Christians and non-Christians alike. And that he's not, he's not the God up there, living in a distant place from us. Deuteronomy 31 says that he's in our mouth and in our heart. And you can't get any closer than in your mouth and in your heart. And I hear so many people, and I see so much writing on Facebook, which is where I do the majority of my ministry, which is to basically I'm a scribe. Okay, I just write down what the Lord gives me every day, and I usually write somewhere around 2 to 3 articles that come fresh from the Spirit of God through my hands onto Facebook, and that's what I do. And I do that from sometimes 7 o'clock in the morning until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, depending on what part of the world I'm counseling somebody or sharing with somebody or they're sharing with me or whatever. And so I have a book that I wrote about a year ago, and we started out marketing the book until God told us to stop it, because you cannot market life. God is not a product. And so he said, give it away. So we've been giving it away for over the last year. It's a 31-day deeper life devotional. For 25 years, I read one devotional, wore the cover off of it, didn't read it every day, but I read it off and on for over a period of 25 years. And so when I started writing the first book, God said it's going to be a devotional. And I just talked to a lady last night from the Philippines on a private message, and I offered the book to her, and she didn't want it because she said she was too busy and she wouldn't be reading it anyway. And that's exactly the reason why I wrote the book, is for the busy people of this day, because it's 31 separate teachings. You can sit down and read one while you're drinking a cup of coffee, and you can start your day out, and that's what I do. And I still read a devotional today that I've been reading for 8 years with our ministry partners, and we do that in our weekly time of prayer and devotion that we've been having for 3 years. One of our ministry partners is in Las Vegas. We're in Texas, and so we go on Skype every night. And we just wait on God to see what he's going to do every night. So, but anyway, this show, I don't talk about the book very often. The name of the book is Rich in Christ. My name is Rich, but the book isn't about me. The book is about you. Because if you're walking in true leadership and true maturity, you're walking in that place where Jesus said, we no longer take a thought for our own life. And you look at those verses that seem so impossible, the ones that Jesus, spoke of in regular conversation, like love your enemies, do good to those who despitefully use you, turn your cheek, all that stuff, and it was just casual conversation. because he wasn't doing the speaking, the Father was speaking through him. And Jesus came at just exactly the right time to reveal the heart of the Father. And he is the heart of the Father, clothed in flesh, clothed in limited flesh. That's who he was when he walked the face of the earth. And so when we hear those different verses, we kind of just pass over them and we think, well, that was for another time, or that's for some super Christian, or that's for me 20 years down the road when I finally understand what this is all about. And the truth is once you realize the origin of who you are and who God is, you see that there's no other way to live but by those verses that Jesus talked about. This last week I did an article, and it was about that very subject, Take No Thought. And I've been on this journey for 35 years. In 1981, I got saved in treatment for alcohol and drugs as a child of the 70s, almost killing myself several times before that. I ended up in treatment courtesy of my employer, and I went in to save my job, and God had me go in to save my life in more ways than I could imagine. And when I came out, I surrendered my life to Christ based on Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. And it's, don't worry about tomorrow, live one day at a time. Now, little did I know that not only did I start out with that verse, but my entire ministry for 35 years has been about that one verse. It has been about, first of all, God taking me to that place, and now I am sharing these same timeless truths with whosoever will listen and understand that real Christianity is not about us doing anything for God. It's about the Spirit of God living his life unhindered through us. That's what real Christianity is. And most of those 35 years were spent wading through what Paul calls the different gospel, the partial gospel, the unfinished gospel, whatever you want to call it. He calls it the different gospel in 2 Corinthians 11:3 and 4, and in Galatians 1:6 through 8, speaking to two different groups. So he's saying the same thing to two different groups, and so it must be important for us to hear. And what he's doing is he's saying that you've walked away from your pure and sincere devotion to Christ, and now you're listening to another spirit and a different Jesus and a different gospel. And, you know, I know that the mainline church has probably defined that wrong, like they do most things, because they define it by the natural mind. That's at enmity with God, by the way. And they've defined it as, you know, the cults or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or the prosperity teachers or whatever. But that's not what it is. What it is it's subtle and it's deceptive. Because Paul says, just like Eve, you've been deceived. I didn't know that was going to rhyme. But anyway, you've been deceived just like Eve from the pure and sincere devotion to Christ. And you've gone off to another gospel. Well, if it's another gospel, that must mean that it's some kind of good news. But it's the partial good news. Because it's not the gospel of true grace that comes through embracing the losing to gain message of the cross that takes you to absolute and total bankruptcy in every possible area of your life and weakness like you've never experienced. and you understand that inability and weakness is all you are, it's not that gospel. It's not the gospel that throws you up on the shelf for 10, 20 years, allows God to take you to the end of everything while he rolls death in on all of your hopes and dreams and all of your plans. You know that verse in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans that I have for you," says the Lord. Well, we love quoting that until we find out that it's all about his plan and not ours. It's not that gospel Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about the gospel, the feel-good gospel. We're over in 2 Timothy, he says, in the last days, men are going to gather to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's the flesh. That's the flesh right there, having itching ears. And they're going to be speaking to them what they want to hear, not what they should hear. And they're going to gather to themselves the Joel Osteens and the Joyce Meyers and the Benny Hinns and all of the other ones out there preaching a partial gospel of some kind. Because if they're not preaching Christ and him crucified and the losing to gain, where you lose your life, that's what the losing is. You lose your life. Matthew 16:25. If you lose your life, you gain it. And if you hang on to your life, you lose it. That's what Jesus says. Those are his words. Okay? So they're preaching a partial, different, false gospel. Because it's not the whole truth. And people have said to me, well, it's what they know. Well, it still doesn't make it right. I can go out and preach, anything that I know, and just because I know it, it doesn't mean it's the truth. I want to share the truth with people. I want people to know that they can have a living, breathing, real relationship with a real God. And not have to strive to find God, which is the biggest lie that ever came down the pike. There's a movie that Renee Zellweger is in. It's called New in Town. It's a cute little movie, and she's some high-powered executive from Miami, and she's transferred to a food service company in New Ulm, Minnesota. And so one scene shows her jogging down the side of the beach, and the next scene shows her stepping out of the airport in 30 below zero weather. And this lady, this homespun lady, picks her up because she's going to her office in this little tiny Minnesota town, where I'm from, by the way. And as she's driving, she says, I need to ask you something. Have you found Jesus? And this, her perfect reply, she said, I didn't know he was missing. You know, and it was sarcastic, and it was meant to be. But you know what? The real Jesus is missing for 99% of the church today. Because they're not walking in the unction and the power, and they're not walking in the victory, which is the only victory, which is the victory that is our faith, which is not our faith, but it's the faith of the Son of God who is living in and through us and as us. There's only one victory. His name is Jesus Christ. There's only one truth. His name is Jesus Christ. There's only one way. There's only one life. There's only one hope. There's only one love. It's all Jesus. And so what God does is he begins to roll death in on everything that you trust in. Your hopes, your dreams, your jobs. You're striving. I went to school for 11 years. I have 4 degrees. I have a master's degree in business, 2 counseling degrees, and a BA in business. And I've never used one professionally. In 1983, I was prescribed a prayer from a dear brother, a mentor at that time, who I looked up to because I was a brand new infant in Christ. And I had this hunger and desire to know God, that God placed there. The same hunger and desire that he placed in you, that religion and performance has destroyed over the years and caused you to look away to something else or something in addition to Jesus Christ. And Bob came to me and he said, Rich, do you want everything that God has for you in this life? And Bob was no fool. Bob was reading the deep teachers. He came out of drugs and alcohol just like I did, and he was the head of the ministry that I was involved in that I eventually became the head of. And it was a seven-step ministry to addicts with the basis of it being 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And he said, Rich, do you want everything God has for you? And I said, Bob, you know I do. And he said, then he handed me a prayer. He said, pray this prayer. And without hesitation, I prayed it. And the prayer was, Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ. I was 24 years old. I was 31 years ago, and God has been answering that prayer for 31 years. And he has systematically removed everything that I trusted in, the people, the places, the things, the hopes, the dreams, the goals. He has removed it all and replaced every bit of it with himself. And now I see myself as God created me to see myself in weakness and fear and much trembling. When I come on this program, there's not one thing canned or planned about what I'm doing right here. Before I came on, I left a message on my Facebook, and I said, let's go discover what God wants us to know today, because I am nothing but his mouthpiece. I am nothing but the vessel, the temple, the branch, the lamp of God, all of them which contain something. The temple contains God. It's not about the outward adornment of it. God's not one bit impressed with one building program going on in the world. The only building program he's concerned about is unless the Lord builds the house, you being that house, they labor in vain, trying to build a Christian life separate, independent from the only one who is able to build it. And before he can build, he has to have the foundation clear. You can't build on something that doesn't have a foundation. And it pleased the Lord to take me into 7 years of hell as a believer, where I walked away from everything God and everything Christianity, because it was God's plan that everything religious and performance-based fall off of my life. And after 7 years of going back to drinking and carousing and basically telling God to take a hike and not those words, God showed me the foundation that was already laid, which was Christ in me. And then he showed me the other part of that foundation was the unconditional, no strings attached love of God that never is going to waver no matter what I do or don't do in this life. And then one other thing he showed me is he would never, ever, ever forsake me or leave me. And on that foundation he's been building for the last 10 or so years when I came out of that time. And that's the message you're hearing today. That's what I write about. I get up at 7:30 and I write sometimes till 3 o'clock in the morning. And I love it because I just sit there and I let God say what he wants to his broken and beaten down body. The body who has believed the lie of performance and the lie of separation and the lie of a distant and impersonal and indifferent God. And this last year, he showed me my greatest asset out of everything that I've ever had in my life is my weakness. Because without my weakness, God cannot reveal himself to anybody else. My weakness was ordained by God from the foundation of the world. If it wasn't, then what was the purpose of the cross? And so I wrote this article this past week, Take No Thought. Take no thought for your life, what you'll eat, what you'll wear, what you put on, where you'll go, where you'll work, how much money you have. Take no thought means to take no thought. Over in Proverbs, it says that God despises, is really the word, despises, when we use weights and measures. And that means when you measure time, or when you measure your bank account, or when you weigh out something, whether or not you're going to do it based on your own natural thinking about it instead of stepping out in faith. When you take those measurements, you're sitting in the place of the Spirit of God, who is the one at work in us, willing and doing of His good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. And so as I read that, take not a thought. This past week, my favorite passage, maybe in the Bible, because I quote it probably more than anything, and it makes sense because that's where God brought me to begin this whole thing, is Matthew 6:22-6:24. He says, if your eye is single, it's full of light. And if your eye is evil, it's full of darkness. Evil is not about behavior and actions. Evil is the opposite of single. And the only opposite of single that I know of is double. So if your eye is single, it's full of light. You're seeing one thing. You're seeing God, you're full of light. If your eye is evil, if you're seeing God and, or God plus, or God, anything more than God, as a believer, then you're full of darkness. And if that light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? That's not a question. That's a statement. Jesus is saying, if that light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It could be, if that light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It could be a question, too. Then he goes to the next example, which is, then he talks about, no man can serve two masters, because either he'll cling to one and love the other, hate the one, love the one and despise the other. So he's saying you can't serve two masters. And then it says you can't serve God and mammon. And so what the church has done is they've taken that and made that something about financial planning. Oh, God, help us. And it's not about financial planning, because it falls in line with the other two examples, the single eye and the double eye. The light that you're calling darkness, I mean the darkness that you're calling light that is really darkness, there's two. The evil eye and the single eye, that's two. The two masters, there's two. Okay? That's duality. James calls it being double-minded and unstable in all of our ways. Jesus referenced it and he said, you're a house divided against yourself. If you divide a house and there's nothing in the middle of that house, it's going to fall in on itself. But this past week, I saw one word in the next verse that completely just opened my eyes up to that entire passage of Matthew 6:22-24 that I've been writing about for the last 4 years and been looking at for the last 35. And that is, therefore, take no thought for your life. So everything we thought Matthew 6:22-24 was about concerning our life and our preservation of our life, it had nothing to do with that, because Jesus says, take no thought for your life. He's saying when you think, Christian, when you rely on your thoughts, your humanity, the natural mind that is the fleshly mind that is at odds with me all the time, when you think, you walk in duality. You walk in evil. And evil is duality. It's seeing more. And in Genesis 3:5, when the serpent came to Adam and Eve and gave them this wonderful offering, that was the first time that a human being ever made a choice. An independent independent choice. And with that independent choice came confusion, because you have to have more than one in order to be confused by something. You're not confused when you're looking at one. You're confused when you're looking at more than one. And every evil work, which is what James says in James 3:16. And so that entire passage I've been looking at my whole life is about the thinking Christian. And the thinking Christian is the immature believer who's trying to think his way through life with the help of Jesus Christ. And if you grasp that, if you can get a hold of that, that will change your life, that one thing right there. I'm nothing. I know that. But that truth right there is worth more than anything that Joel Osteen has ever said in any part of any ministry, or Joyce Myers, or Benny Hinn, or any of them all combined, because none of them even know it for themselves. None of them do. Because if they did, they'd be living by the life of Christ, and the life of Christ is all about others. And they wouldn't be storing up wealth in this day. They'd be the branch and the channel of God's life. That's what they would be. Because you cannot walk in real maturity unless you are walking in that place where you no longer take a thought for your life. It is an impossibility. Any Christian that believes they're mature, apart from that being a major part of their existence, is walking in deception. And that maturity comes by embracing your weakness today, that lost job, that sickness, that debilitating illness of a loved one, your kids out there that are going crazy and doing drugs and doing whatever, the estranged relationships that you're longing for to be reconciled, all of that ordained by God for you to come to the end of yourself so that you can lay down your life. And you can walk in that place of releasing your life to God, resting in the unconditional love of God, and allowing Him to bring you the next thing that you can receive it with joy, whatever it is. That's why James said, consider it all joy. That's why Peter said, after you suffer for a little while. And that's why Paul said, these light momentary afflictions. Because they saw something in the trial that was amazing, because they knew on the other side of the trial there was going to be revelation for others. There was going to be light for others. There was going to be life for others. And their life was no longer about them. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'm here every Wednesday sharing the timeless truths of who we are in Christ, minus the performance-based lie. Minus the partial grace message that's out there. I got a book. It's a 31-day devotional. I'll give it away. We're giving it away free to anybody on the planet. All you have to do is contact me, Rich Novak, on my Facebook page, and private message me. Give me your name and address. I don't want your address to stalk you. Some people are paranoid in that way. I want to send you a real book. It's 31 teachings. We pay for it, the postage, everything, because it's more important that you have this book in your hands than we have money in ours. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for this opportunity. Unstop the ears of the listeners, God. Open their eyes and let them see and hear the real truth of who they are in Christ. Let them know that they are rich in Christ. In Jesus' name. I'll be here again next week. Thanks a lot. God bless.